So before I get started with this week's Ask Me Anything episode, I've got Danny Fagan on the line from My TMS Journey. If you don't follow her on Instagram, please do so. But she and I have an interview coming up in a couple of weeks, but I wanted to kind of get out to the community what it is that she's doing and sort of classes that she does on her website. I always talk about physical activity is the most pivotal thing. Danny, what is it that you do for the TMS community?
Hey, Eddie. So I found restorative yoga to be really beneficial for me when I was recovering from TMS. From a physical perspective, getting back to a level of movement without fear, but also the nervous system settling benefits, the breath work and the meditative side of it was really, really beneficial for me in my recovery. So since recovering myself, I now offer yoga for TMS classes for this community from a really sort of basic beginner level up to a little bit of a higher, more kind of challenging level. So I just wanted to let people know that that is available to them if they want to take part. And I will give you a coupon code if your listeners want to take part in a free class. Let's make that coupon code Eddie.
And that's with a Y.
So you can jump in on the live class.
Eddie with a Y.
sorry, that was a bit off the cuff. If you want to take part in a free class, I do three different levels. One of them is Yoga Nidra, which is like a long guided meditation. And then the next level is a very basic floor-based, simple restorative yoga, basic movement, meditation, and breath work. And then we do level two, which is a bit more standing, balancing, stuff like that. Just a beautiful way to get your body moving again, meet some really cool people in the community, and settle your symptoms, settle your nervous system, and be really happy to see you and show you what it's all about.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And these classes, it looks like there are live classes and on-demand classes for people too.
That's right. Yeah. There's three live classes a week at the moment, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then all of the stuff that I do online live, I put into an on-demand library, which is accessible whenever you want. You can jump in just one class. You can buy a class pack or become a subscriber, whatever level like you want to test the water, just come and try it out. Then that's all there available for you whenever.
Awesome. Okay, Danny, thank you so much for jumping on, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I forgot to say what the web address is. It's mytmsjourney.com and then /yoga for the yoga biz.
Awesome. And it's on the top banner too. So if you just go to mytmsjourney.com, it's just click yoga. I'm navigating it right now. It's easy to find.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Eddie.
Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Sorry, I don't have a cough button, and I wish I had a cough button, but I don't think I have a cough button. It is Wednesday, May the 26th of 2021. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. Hope that you enjoyed just that little blurb at the beginning with me and Danny Fagan. She's well known in the TMS community, but offering up her yoga services and yoga classes on demand and live and subscription on her website at mytmsjourney.com. So make sure you check that out. Before we get started, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting the podcast monetarily, this is a labor of love, but every little dollar certainly does help keep it on the air for free. So Nathan and Valerie, John, Brooke, Carrie, Jason, Colette, Matthew, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Francisco, Victoria, Michael, Anthony, Jen, and Nate, Ross, Christina, Julie, Brian, Casey, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast in any way that you can. So very much appreciated. Keeping the lights on, helping pay for publisher fees, being able to pay for just the time and energy that goes into this. You know, one thing that's pretty crazy is that I think it was either last week or it was the week before, I had crossed the benchmark of every Wednesday in that time. So this is episode 177, I think. The first 14 episodes aired in a row, And then there was this several month break after Audrey was born. And then I resumed in mid to late May of 2018. And it's aired every single Wednesday since then. Someone actually challenged me recently. They said they dare me to skip a week. And if I didn't have patrons of the show, I probably would skip a week, and I might skip a week with some fair regularity. But ultimately, this is a product that keeps going on. Sometimes my wife asks me, like, do you feel like you're putting out a good product? And I said, I think I am. And some of the weeks that I think that episodes just totally suck are the ones where I get like the most messages and most emails of people saying that it made the most impact. So who knows, right? Who knows with this kind of stuff? With that being said, this is one of those Ask Me Anything weeks, and I asked for people's responses to what sort of things it is that they would want to hear me talk about, and I got about 15 questions that were sent in, so thank you all for doing that, and I guess we'll just get started. This one comes from Carrie. Hey, Eddie, asking this for a friend who has just started curable mind-body work after seeing me heal from decades of pain. She has an MRI diagnosis of a shoulder tear, so having difficulty in seeing the pain in this area as TMS, as it's a physical diagnosis, but she accepts that her migraines are able to be healed using a TMS approach. I've talked to her about how all of her injuries heal, but would love your perspective. Thanks so much for your podcast. It is literally life-changing for me. Thank you, Carrie. That's so nice to hear. There's two things that I want to speak about on shoulders specifically. I've had my history of shoulder issues, which if you've listened to this podcast for any more than a week or two, you know about. But I remember the PA for my surgeon who told me just after my surgery that virtually everybody has a rotator cuff tear. And some it affects people and some it doesn't. And they don't necessarily know why, but they repair the ones that they find. And I thought, huh. Oh, that's weird. All right. Well, you know, I had my surgery and go on about it. But years later, coming across a lot of the Sarno stuff and seeing how prevalent a rotator cuff tear, I'm not sure which part of the shoulder it is that you're talking about, but seeing how prevalent a rotator cuff tear is and knowing that they are so prevalent, it's kind of wild to me. So to me, that really shouts out a TMS type of an issue. I had a labral tear and I had a rotator cuff tear. And it happened at the same time. So I did have surgery. The one interesting thing though, is that I went several months, in between the time of like diagnostic and actually having the surgery. And if you recall, I went through and I saw several different doctors. The doctor that told me that I went into this woman's office, Dr. Sarah Jurek, she's here in Seattle. I went into her office and I had said that, you know, what I do CrossFit, I do weightlifting, I do all this. And she was an athlete too. And I'd said, you know, the last couple of people that I saw, they told me I needed to discontinue activity and all this kind of stuff. And she diagnosed what it was that I had. And she said, but you don't need to discontinue activity and just, you know, do the things that you feel you can do and that are, you know, that don't hurt. And I think you'll be fine. Like basically that I didn't have to rush to get the surgery done and that I would be okay and I could just keep doing my sport. I left that appointment and I went right to the gym and I was doing clean and jerks and I was doing all sorts of stuff. And it was stuff that I wasn't attempting for months because it always, quote, hurt so bad. So to me, all that really happened, you know, somebody's words don't fix the shoulder, right? Somebody's words do not repair rotator cuff and labral tears, but somebody's words certainly can calm down the system to say basically that, you know, you have this issue, but you're fine. And to me, that's very TMS, right? I went into surgery feeling probably 99% and still had the surgery. And then, you know, my surgery wounds healed and I went through rehab and I had an amazing rehab. And then all my back and my neck pain started the same week that I was cleared for all activity. So I was just exchanging one thing for another, basically. So tell your friend that. And they can email me too. If you feel like they're close and they might just need a nudge, have them email me. That's fine. Eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. Okay. This comes from Matt. Ooh, this is a good one. You've been chatting about dairy and its effects on you and how you've moved on from that now. I've got various sensitivities, and while I try not to go at things quickly by adding in these food types again and going in without an expectation of getting IBS symptoms, how do you go about taking the step forward when I still get symptoms despite doing all I can and not have the mindset? I totally believe TMS is involved along with other daily stressors. How do you move forward with these types of issues? Is it somatic tracking on symptoms? You know, this one was a little bit different for me with the dairy stuff because I just did it. And I even had like an issue where like I started having dairy or consuming dairy again, maybe 3 years ago. And, didn't have an issue. Might have even been like 3.5 years ago. Didn't have an issue. And then I started just kind of feeling, the best word I can use is heavy when I would have dairy. And so I just stopped having it again. And then my wife just said to me, this is just a TMS thing. And this was, I don't know, 8 months ago or 10 months ago or something like that. And I haven't had an issue or even that feeling of heaviness since then. And I have tried to have ice cream like every Friday night. It's like part of the unwinding thing. I'm sitting there, I'm watching wrestling or watching a movie or a dumb show or vegging out on motorcycle videos on YouTube, which I could just do all the time. And I wish I just wasn't so sucked in, but I love them. So I don't know how much somatic tracking that you could do, right? Like you say that you like you eat a piece of cheese and then sort of visualize the cheese going down your throat and then into your stomach and all that kind of stuff. I think that'd be really tough to do. I'm not saying it won't work, but I think it'd be tough to do. So I think it's just one of those things of just doing it and trying to somehow fight back that that expectation of having an issue. That, and again, that's like a hard thing to do or say, but really this is one of those things where you just sort of have to do it. You can go all the way back to the episode I did with Dr. Alicia Batson, probably right around episode, I don't know, 25, 40, something like that. It was way back when. But she talked about having various food food sensitivities. I think she had 13 or 14 or 15 or something like that. She gave her take on food sensitivities in all facets. And she basically had said that aside from celiac disease, that she felt that really all food sensitivities were TMS issue, were mind-body issue. So there might be something to go back and listen to just to kind of hear for yourself an expert talk about this stuff. I think that could be really valuable. So that would be my suggestion, is go back and find the episode with Dr. Alicia Batson, which again, I think it would have been probably towards the end of 2018. So scroll around and you should be able to find it. This comes from Rick. I struggle 100%. Let's see here. I'm struggling 100%. Nothing is broke, even though when the official explanation of what I have been diagnosed with screams TMS. How can I get all in? Visual snow syndrome. So Rick has been diagnosed with visual snow syndrome. Let me just take a look at this. Okay, so in short order, visual snow syndrome affects the way the visual information is processed by the brain. People with visual snow syndrome see many flickering dots like snow or static that fill the entire visual field. Other visual symptoms include seeing blobs of varying degrees. People with visual snow syndrome have light sensitivity, difficult with night vision, migraines, and ringing in the ears. The symptoms do not usually change over time. So what does it say for treatment? I'm just curious. So specialists involved in the care of someone with visual snow syndrome may include a psychologist and a neurologist. So here's what I'll say. I've never heard of this before today. So, but something I will say is that people that have this also may have migraines and ringing in the ears. Tinnitus and migraines are two things that we know are mind-body. You can go look at some of Dr. Hanscom's literature because he talks about both of those because he's had both of those. Tinnitus was one of the more recent ones that he had had. But we know that that's a TMS thing. And then when it says to be treated by a psychologist, that should be another thing that will tip you off. I compare it a lot to people who have fibromyalgia, or in my case, where I had chronic neck and back pain and I was prescribed SSRIs, which is an antidepressant. Why would something brain-wise, why would you use an antidepressant to treat a chronic pain issue? And I think it's the same thing because it's all in the brain. So it's a neural circuit problem, as Dr. Schumacher would say. So those are some things that I would think about. When it says you can use a psychologist, this might be one of those things where it could be worth reaching out to somebody like at the Pain Psychology Center or Jenny Huggins, who I've done an interview with, Liz Wallenstein, who I've done interviews with, and talking to somebody in those environments and seeing about them being able to help you a session or two just to kind of get some reinforcement. But those might be some good people to reach out to. This is from Kate. I've struggled with a bad chronic cough for 35 years. This is my second time around dealing with TMS. I healed back pain a year ago when I started to get on back pain, about 6 weeks ago, my cough stopped for 4 days. I was thrilled, but now I have not had any further help from it. It's a symptom imperative thing, right? I talked earlier about basically exchanging shoulder issues for neck and back issues. You exchange back pain for this cough. You exchange the cough for the back pain. So you don't have one, but you have the other. It's kind of like whack-a-mole, basically. Like you solve one, like one mole you've knocked out and then another one jumps up. So you would treat it the same way TMS-wise that you would have treated the back pain. So for some people, this is journaling. And then for some people, it's just somatic experiencing or somatic tracking. And sometimes it's difficult to try and place a somatic track on a cough. But what you can do is you can continue to sort of go to that core of you, like essentially where your sternum is, and just with deep, deep focus, like I've talked about before, go back to the Stark Reactor episode from a year or so ago, year and a half ago, where I just talk about over and over asking yourself, you know, what are you feeling right now? How are you feeling right now? As you're just zeroing in on that place between your belly button and your heart, which is basically lifted from zero pain now. But that's sort of what I would do, is I would spend a couple of minutes every night doing something like that and then going on with your day. This is from Robin. Can you talk about chronic fatigue? For me, I'm pretty sure it's TMS, brought on by chronic fear of the pandemic. How can I use TMS protocol to get rid of the fear that is everywhere over the past year, especially for people with health anxiety? So the health anxiety component is difficult in this because with a global pandemic, it's difficult to say, hey, just hush, hush about the health anxiety that you're facing. But probably what I would use in a case like this is I would say to really use logic to solve the problem. So I did a post on my personal Facebook this morning about how thrilled I am to see that in the United States, at this time 4 months ago, we were averaging about 260,000 cases with a 14% positive case rate, and 4,000 people a day were dying of COVID-19. And now we're at a place where we're averaging 22,000 cases a day with a 3% positive rate and 600 people a day are dying. So it's all drastically coming down. I know with fatigue, I mean, this is a TMS thing and it's been talked about in a lot of the books, chronic fatigue. And you can find case stories about it on the TMS wiki. You can find recovery stories, things like that. But I think that with this, it just needs to be leaned into with logic and then just leaned into that, like, well, if I catch something or if something happens, there's not really anything I can do about it. And just sort of facing it that way. Paula, she just went on to talk about it and then they kind of went back and forth. Okay, let's keep going with questions. Michael asks, what about nocebo for medicine, reading the side effects and getting them? It's a funny thing. This happens a lot. So yesterday there was a story that came out that the Pfizer vaccine, it was like one in every 6 million people that had gotten the vaccine were having myocarditis or basically inflammation of the heart. And right when I read this, I started feeling like swelling in the heart, right? Like not a good feeling to have. And I told my wife, I sent her the article and I said, my heart just started hurting like right when I read that. So it's kind of wild in that way. And I had an interview with Steve Ozanich a few years ago and him and I were doing this interview and he had talked about his elbow hurting and then suddenly my elbow starts hurting, right? So it's one of those things where you just kind of have to pay it really no attention. Side effects can happen, right? Like that can be a piece of it. But the nice thing about side effects is that they're going to go away and pretty quickly, like usually within just a few minutes or maybe a few hours, you might be relieved of those side effects. Like taking Benadryl, like a side effect is drowsiness of Benadryl. It's gone the next day. And I wouldn't really have to worry about it because I know that it's going to be gone the next day. So coming at it with like confidence and just, I don't really care sort of an attitude can be a really good anecdote for that. From Mark. Can you talk about how to approach trigger movements when working out? I continue to have shoulder pain when performing kipping pull-ups or toes to bar. I know this is TMS and do the movements aggressively without fear or doubt, yet certain movements still trigger pain. What is your approach? I said, speaking my language, Mark. So these are like CrossFit movements. That's what I think you're probably talking about. And so to me, stuff like this is cumulative in terms of triggers or triggers from movements, like feeling certain types of pain after doing certain types of movement. And to me, that's like an expectation and condition response as part of it. But then the other things that can really help are just a nightly somatic experiencing exercise, just to sort of get yourself in more of a chilled out parasympathetic state, and being able to just sort of go through feeling your feelings that came as inventory from that entire day. So if you can do it with indifference, like you talk about, that's great. That's sort of how I always treat things. I mean, I know that, you know, I had a couple of doctors tell me that squatting ever again with a barbell on my neck or my upper back could mean that I won't feel my arms anymore. And yet I squat heavy 3 days a week. It's getting very tough at this point in the cycle, but I squat heavy 3 days a week. But I just know that, like, hey, if something happens, it happens, but it's probably not going to happen. And just that enough, I don't have an issue. I don't have any sort of a problem. So indifference is probably the biggest piece of that. But then just having some kind of a regular or pseudo regular type of an exercise or a cadence when it comes to just feeling your feelings. That's what a lot of this stuff is about. From Donovan, male pelvic floor dysfunction, which is 100% TMS, but I'm having a hell of a time with it. I've had TMS my whole life and beaten just about every symptom in the book, from neck pain to IBS. But for some reason, this one is really getting to me. It literally feels like I have a stick up my ass. It looks like this guy on Steve-O's YouTube had it and cured it. A lot of women have pelvic floor dysfunction, but it's rarely talked about in guys. And mine started with an injury, which makes it even more complicated. I know it's TMS, but I'm having a heck of a time getting rid of it. Curious about your thoughts and if you think pelvic floor physical therapy is helpful, because so far for me, it has been effective but short-lived. I don't think that physical therapy on it is helpful, especially if you've had it for a long time. If it's something that's been around for a long time, like TMS work is really the best anecdote. And this will go away in time by doing the same things that you would have done to get rid of the other symptoms. So getting some kind of a specific physical therapy to address the issue, you're really just pushing aside the issue and repressing the issue, and that's not what you want. So leaning into it and just sort of, I mean, at night, like, or really anytime during the day, a good somatic tracking experience can be really great for you. If you can close your eyes and visualize this spot that hurts, and just staying locked in on there, as comfortable, uncomfortable as it may feel, as anxiety and panic inducing as it may feel, you're going to get there simply by just going through it. You can't avoid a tidal wave by trying to run around it. That's never going to work, but you can go right through it and you'll survive. So it should be good. From Preetha. Hello, Preetha. I think people may be interested in hearing about strategies when the TMS work we did earlier no longer works in the event of a flare. So with me, I think it's just staying the course. I think of it and compare it a lot to learning any new skill, or learning anything in general. Like, I've been doing weightlifting training exclusively since the end of 2013 now. And I go through waves where, like, I'll get up and I'll be doing my programming for a couple of weeks. And I, for some reason, I feel like my strength isn't there. I feel like my technique isn't there. I just feel like nothing is working. And when parts of me wants to maybe switch doing a different type of exercise, going back to CrossFit or doing powerlifting or something like that, I just know that, like the ultimate goal here is for me to be able to be a good weightlifter. And I'm going to have rough patches and things aren't going to work sometimes, but I know that the tried and true is just to do the thing and just continue doing the things that have worked in the past, which is really just a consistency around it. So if you found that in the past, journaling has worked extremely well for you, or if you found in the past that somatic experiencing has worked extremely well for you, or meditation or whatever the case is, continue to do those things. Because they will serve you eventually. And I think that, again, like, the ultimate place to get to is a place of indifference. And if you can do these things, like journal speak or whatever the case may be, with a level of indifference that, hey, I'm going to do this thing, and whether it works or it doesn't work, I invested 20 minutes and it is what it is. Ultimately, you're going to get into a better space because you have the indifference behind you. From Keith, kind of two questions rolled into one. Did my symptoms start after what I thought was an injury and have stuck around as I learned neural pathways, or were my initial symptoms a triggered response to my emotions? How can I tell, or doesn't even matter to know? It doesn't matter to know. And so it's really interesting. So, some TMS experts will say that it's entirely emotionally driven. And then other ones will say, like, you're pretty much just stuck in this loop of, you know, a pain cycle, basically. And I think that it can be either of those, honestly, because you can go, like with me, with my shoulder thing, I had a dislocation, and I just kind of kept playing back this tape loop of shoulder pain, shoulder pain, shoulder pain, shoulder pain, shoulder pain, shoulder pain. And I couldn't get out of it until somebody helped me realize that I'm going to be okay, and this isn't the end of the world, and I'm still an athlete, and I can keep doing the thing that I want to do. Boom, like stick in the spokes. So it doesn't really matter what side it came from. Keith goes on to say, so many experts have different methods of addressing the root cause of our symptoms, journaling, somatic, meditation. The consensus seems to be that what works for one might not work for another. So you've got to try and see what works for you. Then you have the likes of Ozanich and to a certain extent Sarno that say you really don't have to do anything, and really the understanding that your body is fine enough and to move on with your life. My biggest sticking point is fear. I feel I don't have any trauma or big emotional moments in my life that may have caused my symptoms, hence why I initially felt the injury was legit, but my nervous system has stuck on, so I've been looking more at the day-to-day stress and worry, but I also have massive fear about resuming my life again, full send. I love that you use full send there. This has just got to be one of those things where the sticking point is fear, so you need to be able to get over the fear. I used to have a really irrational fear and scaredness of flying, like commercial flying. And eventually, like one day, I just sort of said to myself, if this plane crashes, there is absolutely nothing you are going to do about it. Your fear can't stop the plane. The plane's going to crash, you're going to die, and that's really going to be it. And just that alone, of that acceptance, calmed it down, and I didn't have the panic attacks before flying anymore. I didn't get the sweaty palms. I wasn't shaking. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't any of that stuff. Like it just ended. So, getting to a place of acceptance, like, hey, if your body hurts forever or it doesn't, it's going to be fine, like, you know, regardless of whatever. That's really where Sarno and Ozanich are coming from, is doing that. And it's also like, what speaks to you? Like meditation, as most people think of it, didn't speak to me. So that's not something that I feel is all that helpful for me. However, a quick 2 or 3 minute somatic experiencing session really speaks to me, because it's quick and it's body based, and I can be in tune with my body and all that kind of stuff. And that's the stuff that I really, as an athlete, that I really thrive to, and I really get magnetic towards. So I would say that that's a good place. Somebody also had recommended Hope and Help for Your Nerves by Claire Weeks. Another one that I might consider you check out, especially since you mentioned fear, like a good book. There's not a to-do in this, but it does speak to fear and anxiety in general, and it's called At Last a Life by Paul David. It's self-published. You can get it on Amazon, I think. I think that's where I got it. And then I just read it on the Kindle app, and he just kind of goes over and over and talks about, you know, chronic fear and chronic anxiety, and I think that could be something cool to check out. This comes from Shannon. Could you talk about how to stop thinking of symptoms in a physical way? For example, my diagnosis from one doctor was piriformis syndrome. So when the sensations in my glute and hip flare, I get this visualization of an inflamed muscle. It's like an automatic response. I know it's TMS. I just can't stop the thought pattern. So you need to unlearn body parts, which is tough to say. But when I got to a place of stop saying that my QL hurts, or my latissimus dorsi hurts, or my rhomboids, my rhomboid minor, my rhomboid major, or my serratus anterior, and I just said my back hurts, simplifying it, really sort of degrading the experience is really good. You got a pain in the ass. That's what you got. Anything with a syndrome, by the way, to me is most likely bullshit, just because syndrome can be used for a blanket of things. So degrading the diagnosis on this, I think, can be a really good thing to do. And like piriformis syndrome is one of the most textbook TMS things that's out there. There's a ton of stories about it. That was one of mine too, piriformis syndrome. And then I did a bunch of stretches and then I was fine. And then I had a whole nother host of issues flare up. So degrading and unlearning, I think, are two big things for you. From Lori. How to specifically deal with tailbone pain that has prevented me from being able to sit down or lay down for 5 years at my wit's end and so exhausted from standing all the time. Lori, somatic tracking, go to your Google machine, type in TMS Wiki, and at the top there is Alan Gordon's program, and there's two lessons in there. I'd recommend going through the whole 3 weeks if you can, but with one lesson a day. But there's 2 days specifically on somatic tracking in there where he addresses with somebody on how to address neck pain. I do that same thing with your tailbone in the way that he teaches this nurse to do. So doing that with somatic tracking, because here you have like this tangible spot, and there's some kind of a feeling that's associated with that tangible spot. Maybe it is a pain in the ass. Maybe somebody's a pain in the ass. but just sort of zeroing in on that spot and just trying to be able to feel the emotion in your gut or in your sternum or in your heart can really be a good practice. And something that is just, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes can really pay some great dividends. This is from Charlie. How to tackle condition response pain. If I ride my road bike, my whole body goes into pain. If I ride my sit-up bike, I have no pain. I've tried many times to tackle it by persisting with riding the road bike, but so far no success. I think it's just doing the thing. I don't know how helpful that is, Charlie, but doing the damn thing, as I always say, can serve you well. And this kind of goes to the person that was talking about CrossFit. This stuff is all cumulative. So having some kind of a daily practice where you can sort of get out that tension and that rage and that anger and those feelings, like a somatic experience for a couple minutes a night, I think can pay really great dividends in this, because then your overall just tension in your body and tension in your mind and tension in your muscles are going to dissipate, because you're in more of that reset parasympathetic state that you ultimately need to be in. Okay, so that's the end of the Ask Me Anything episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I hope that you found this very helpful. We'll be back next week. I've got a couple interviews sitting in the hopper. I think you're going to hear from Danny Fagan next week, or I might hold her off another week, but we'll see. Thank you so much for tuning in. Email me, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram @EddieLindenstein. Donate to the Patreon page, patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast if you want to support. But as always, have a great, if you're in the United States, have a great Memorial Holiday weekend. And if you're outside of the United States, have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend. Take care.